We've been teaching on the subject of kingdom authority. It's been very different than I've ever taught concerning authority before. One of the things that God has put on my heart in doing this teaching is the fact that really sort of tying a lot of things up together. I think in teaching subjects, we don't see how they interrelate. Sometimes in the Bible, like, you know, somebody will teach, you know, on end times, and people get focused over into those areas, but they don't see how the rest of their life fits into those teachings. And it's one of the things is getting around and seeing, you know, there's everything, whether you're dealing with the subject of faith, you're dealing with love, you're dealing with healing, you're dealing, whatever you're dealing with, whether you're Christian conduct or whatever it is, it all ties together. And that's what you have to see. The Christian life isn't these separated things to do. It all ties and works together. So we need to walk in line and understand that. This morning, I was going over yesterday, and there was a real anointing as I was going over some of the things that I was going to teach. But this morning, before I left, you know, I always amazes me. Sometimes God pulls this. It's like, you know, it's you're run out of time, and that's when He wants to start talking to you. But I, hey, if He wants to start talking to you, it's good to make a time. But anyhow, He spoke to me about some things and told me to bring up this morning. And so it's different in the direction I was going to start off with. So I'm not sure exactly where it'll go. But there's some of the things that the Lord has dealt with me before concerning is one of the things dealing in the areas of authority. We need to understand how our faith is tied to it. This is hugely important. It doesn't matter how much authority God has put in the church or given the church. It requires faith to walk in it. And this is where there has really been a problem. And this is where, you know, God has been dealing with me on around in this area because, I don't know, my heart just sort of, I look at what's going on in our nation and around the world with people. And man, my heart hurts. It's so messed up and people are so messed. Even the Christians, they're so much messed up. And I look and I see and I listening to what people say and you know, even from a Christian perspective of, you know, and I believe there are people that want to do right and want to walk right. But there's so much of an infiltration of the world has gotten into the church. It is so tainted, and the sad part is people don't see it. They don't even know it's happened to them. They're walking along and they're walking and doing their areas, and I don't believe, you know, that they're out to do bad, but what they end up doing is bad. It doesn't work. And, you know, it comes down to one thing. We have, as Christians, the only thing that is going to change the world is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have a choice about preaching this because no one can be saved unless it's preached. In other words, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So, now, number one, we need to get this down in ourselves and get it straightened out with us. We're going to have to tell people, and people ain't going to like hearing it. We're living in a world that much of even Christianity hates Christianity. Oh, you start, well, you're too religious, or you're too this, or you, when you start getting over and see it, and there's so much of it that's going on. And I mean, we have, you know, there's powerful influence in Congress to really shut Christianity down. There's groups that want to shut it down. They don't, you know, they got this bit here, you know, that white supremacy is Christianity. Christianity, you know, so if my Christianity means I'm a white supremacist. Well, you know, see, these people are antichrist, but here's one thing, we can't walk around and hate them. We can't. But we're going to have to preach the gospel. There's no way. The job of the Holy Spirit, you know, is number one, you'll never save anybody. Amen. And you understand that. We're not supposed to convince anyone they need to get saved. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the sinner of sin. He's the one who brings that conviction. You can't. What He does when we preach the gospel, He brings revelation to the individual concerning the Word of God. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit in working with that individual. We can't make them respond. We can't make them take it. We can't do that. But they have a choice, so they make a choice whether or not they want to respond to the revelation that the Holy Spirit brought to them that was preached. Our job is just to preach it. Our job is to proclaim it. This is the truth. We see people, we see problems. You know, it's like I was just watching a thing online. They were talking about, I just saw there was a headline thing because of shootings and stuff going in Harrisburg. And the whole thing that they were talking about, because the shootings and stuff are happening among very young teenagers are, you know, shooting people, you know, carrying guns and shooting people. So they're talking about this. So I watched the thing and I just felt so bad because the mayor of the city, now I'm sure she wants to do right and she wants to do that, but she was asked about dealing with the problem and her answer was, the school's got to do something about this. She said, they need to start programs to keep these kids occupied. What she doesn't realize, what she said, is we need to have a form of prison to keep them locked up. Because that's what it is. It's a, we got to have make programs to keep them occupied. That's what we do. We put people in jail. We put them in a place, keep them occupied over here with this, so they don't go out and do this stuff anymore. But the whole thing of it is, now I know from this woman, she goes to church. She does these things. She does. But she has no idea. You know, when she said that, the first thing the Lord reminded me of is when, way back when Bill Clinton was president, you guys heard me talk about it, and I was praying and asking God why our government was so messed up because of the fighting that was going on all the time in the government. And now today when I look back on that, my, that was peaceful. That was hardly a thing. And the Lord said this to me. I mean, this came to me just as clear. It said, He said, I'm judging the God of America. I'm judging the government. See, God's been dealing with our government. God has. And we don't see it. The world don't see it. A lot of people don't see it. God's been dealing with this thing. God's been dealing with this thing. And people are uncomfortable with God's dealing. You know, God's allowing people to have what they want. You know, it amazes me that people cannot see that what they're doing isn't working. I can go back to the 1970s and that stuff. I can go back to when our kids were born and that stuff, and then in the 80s when they went to school and everything, it was the same thing, Skid. The schools need to take care of things. The school needs to take care of, the school needs to do this. The school needs to do that. And I watched those things going on and I said, well, this will turn to no good. You see, we need to understand, we're living in a world, the sinner don't have God and they don't have the love of God and don't think they love. We think they do. Do you think the sinners that are in the schools educating your kids love your kids or love your grandkids? They don't. They can't. If they're unsaved, they don't have the love of God. The church is so perverted today. They don't realize the condition that people are in. We need to break this mold in ourselves. We look at people and we divide them up. This guy's good because they, what we see in the natural, what we think in the natural, this, we divide it all up into that. And don't stop to say, that poor person, they don't have the love of God. They can't love. They can't love like God says to love. It's an impossibility for them to do it. If their life doesn't change. You know, when Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, September 1950, and told him, before things get to their worst, the church is going to be taken. It didn't say before it says right after the last big revival and everything goes wonderful, the church is going to be taken. Didn't say that. Before things get to their worst. Folks, we're on the road to worse. We're on the road to worse. We need to identify it. And you know what? We need to be warning people about the worst. See, we have a gospel that we preach and it deals with the subject of sin. And boy, we live in a nation that hates to hear about that. I've heard this over the years when a minister got up and really got direct about things about sin. I watched other ministers, big name ministers, criticize them. You're being too negative. I've watched it. We got a major sin problem, and there's only fix is Jesus. Jesus is the only fix to the sin problem. Jesus is it. That's the bottom line on this thing. We're running down this road, and you know what? God has given us the authority to take this gospel. God has handed it to the church. And this mess is in this earth. One thing is we gotta lose the fear of persecution, because it will come. We have to lose the fear of it. We have to preach the truth whether people like to hear it or not. We need to give people opportunity. And people don't like to, everybody likes to think that they're all okay. I don't know, I, if you're following God, I'm not quite sure if I'm okay yet. I just, you know, God deals with me and I think, oh my word, so I need straightened out. But the whole thing of it is, see, we're sitting here as believers. There's things that, you know, we know it's common to us, but you need to understand, it's not to others. The people around you, other church people around you, they have no clue. They have no clue about things. They don't know, you know. It's like Mike's talking to us is very much in simplicity. Does God want to provide our needs? Would He want to do that? God gave us Jesus. Is that it? Jesus is all you get. You got saved. Much of Christianity's in that boat. You got saved and that's the last thing and that's it, and you can't count on anything else. There's nothing more beyond. There's many Christians and they're just waiting to get out of here. They hate the world and they hate the things and what they hate the people in the world. We want to get out of here. We want to get away from this. We want to go. They've lost their joy. They can't, you know, they're living here in this earth and it's a shame. I mean, we're living in this and, instead of having a joy in our hearts, hallelujah, I look at people and I think, my God, how sad it is. How sad the condition that they're in. Now, the Lord spoke to me about this, dealing with the areas of faith. Now, these are the things that we know, but we need to understand that others are not here. Now, very simple, you know, the Lord reminded me of the scripture, where He started me with, is in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, just in verse 1, is for us to understand, and especially with people, we don't realize we're in we don't realize that we're dealing with such a sight society, or a society that operates off the senses. And part of it is to deal with our educations. You know, we have exalted science. And when I'm talking about science, whether it's doctors and medicine and everything that's in that science, whatever it might be, we have exalted those people to places they should have never been exalted to. And we've become totally dependent on them. Without God, you know, God's not, all we talk about, hey, God, help me with it. But my doctor God, He's going to be the number one guy. Or this is just like, you know, we come along and I just get all this people, this fighting over COVID and fighting whether that's the science is right or the science is wrong or blah, 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 blah. And both sides, I mean, it's like the part, please, dear God, gag them all. Because what they're dealing with is everything. The fix to everybody is to the natural. Our nation, we're in the trouble we're in because of sin. That's why we're in the trouble we're in. We're in a nation who has rejected God. In 1950, and Kenneth Hagin had said this after Jesus had spoken to him, I think, he said, the only thing that will save America is a repentance and a turning back to God. That was 1950. How closer has America got to God? See, I believe America as nationally has run to the end of its last call. I don't think it'll get another nationally. That's me personally. I don't think America gets another call. Jesus said at that time, this is the last revival. Is that true or not? We have to decide. See, these things everybody puts everything out here and says things. We got to stop and say, hey, hold it. What has been said and what's being said? See, these things trouble me because, see, people just make up new things as they go along. And was God changed His mind? Is it, hold it. That one's not going to count anymore. Are these things true? We need to see that the path we're going in. See, I believe in a move of God, but I don't believe the move of God. I don't believe the move of God is going to make America some great place. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. The Bible is clear. I know what the Lord showed me back in the 90s when the Lord showed me about, He said about the United States, the areas of great darkness and great light. He said there'll be places of the moving of light and there're going to be places of huge darkness. In other words, our nation's going to be divided all up. Aren't we seeing that? A dividing up in our nation? Well, this is one thing, see, that I know. What the Lord showed me, I saw what God said. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers preach and say what God said, but it ain't come to pass. We ain't had it. I'm only interested in what's working. And I sit down and I look and I see these things coming along and these things that are happening. And I say, hold it. Lord, what is it? Because there's one thing. I don't think we have a clear picture of some things. I don't think we have a clear picture. I think we need one. We need to make man's voice out of here and say, God, please speak and show us. God, please reveal to us. There's one thing that I just know in my heart. I know this. Things are going to, worldwide, there's a lot of bad things on the horizon. It's not going to get cuter out there. People, there's a setup coming. If the church is close to leaving, then it's close to the time of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not going to come into power because things have gone well. It'll be a desperation of people. People will desperately join up with a leader in desperation. Look how it goes along. You follow history. See, that's what happened. What people don't realize is the Second World War started because of that. The European countries oppressed Germany after the First World War. And they oppressed them so bad, they brought Adolf Hitler. They let the devil bring Adolf Hitler up, a messiah for the nation. They caused it to happen. They oppressed them so bad that the Germans had nothing, couldn't feed their families and everything else. They were making Germany pay for all the bills of the war, what the war cost, and making all the people. You saw this. I remember the pictures you used to have, a guy with a wheelbarrow full of German marks, and they were just absolutely worthless. They'd just take them and burn them. You couldn't even buy a loaf of bread with a wheelbarrow full of marks. And they were oppressed. The United States was the only country that said, you know, we shouldn't be. United States backed out of the talks at the end of the First World War because they said, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't. See, and that's why when the Second World War ended, it was a total different way they treated Japan and Germany. Totally different way. It was nice to see that somebody learned from their mistakes, but it seems to have ended since then. It doesn't, what happened? But see, they oppressed a people, and through oppression, when oppression comes strong, we open up the door for the devil to bring something along that you wish you would have never had. And see, today, I mean, spirits are doing things. I mean, there's demonic spirits are doing things in oppression, and people are susceptible to all kinds of stuff because they're oppressed. This is why the gospel is needed desperately. This is why the church needs to come back to the revelation of who and what we are. We need to come back to this because this needs to be our message, because oppression is dominating, and if it dominates, it will open the door to people to accept leadership. I mean, I want you to think about this. Now, this is the crazy thing. If you took Joe Biden, now I'm just not just doing this to be critical of Joe, but if you took Joe Biden's political history, Joe Biden never did nothing. Joe Biden was picked by Obama because he was a nobody that wouldn't do a thing, and Obama could do what he wanted. He had a dummy that was going to be out of the way. Now, whether anybody likes it or not, that's what it was. But you know what? Now, I don't blame Joe Biden. I don't knock Joe Biden. But it's the people that bought into the thing that he would make a good president. I mean, I can't imagine the Democratic Party got behind him. That is unimaginable to me. But see, a people who are in desperation will do the dumbest things and do the most stupid things. The fact that Joe Biden's doing what he's doing, he was always a man who went with the crowd. He was never the leader of anything. He, in Congress, his years in Congress, I don't know if he have ever introduced any bill on his own. I don't think at any time, and he's all his years in the Senate. Never introduced a bill on his own. I mean, what do you, a man that does that, do you, is that a leader? Is that a guy that's going to get to be president? See, I don't blame Joe. I don't blame Joe. They just didn't have, I don't guess they didn't have anybody else to fill the seat. And then he picked Kamala Harris. I mean, Kamala Harris was the bottom of the totem pole running for the presidency when she was running for the nomination of the Democratic Party. It's like, what happens here? But you need to understand, when demonic oppression comes in, people accept weird things. People's minds go. Their minds go. You need to understand this. I mean, we were very fortunate in the fact when Donald Trump was president, just like the Lord told me, he said concerning Donald Trump, really, Donald Trump, God in his graciousness gave us Donald Trump to try to set things in order. But people, we need to understand, even the church world, they became, God is the government. It's always, hey, I believe God wholeheartedly wants to get involved in government. I believe he wholeheartedly does. But we need to get ourselves over to where we get too far into the natural side of it, and we're just going to get these people and they're going to fix things and they're going to make it right. Folks, that's in the hands of the people. I need to, my focus needs to be get my life right. I'll never make a good choice if my life's not right. I don't make good choices. And see, this is where we're dealing with things. We want somebody else. It's just like the mayor up there. Somebody else ought to do something about our kid problems. Our parents are, the parents of those kids are heathens, and the kids are not being raised in any godly manner. And it's like, couldn't be any of that. We got to do something with the school. We got to get the babysitter to take care of the kids. And that's what it is. It's always pushing. This is America today. And the Republicans are just the same way. We always got to get the government to do something. Well, the government ought to do something about this, or the government ought to be doing something about that. And we're always pushing toward that. Big government has been made by both parties. There has not been any party, Democrat or Republican, who has made government smaller in my lifetime. Yet it's always the promise of the Republican Party. We want smaller government. You can't give these folks money. I mean, the Republicans want to smoke and marijuana so they can get tax money off of it. That's what it is. It's about money that they can spend. I'm in government. I need money to spend. Give me money. And then I'll do all these things for you. I can't pass a piece of legislation unless you send me money. I don't get it. Why do I need to send my congressman money so he can vote that abortion's terrible? Just make the vote. Why do I have to send him money to do it? This is all good. we're talking. But I want to read to you here because, the scriptures. In Hebrews, the first chapter, there's this, the first verse says concerning faith, and it's dealing, and this is what God wants us to deal with, the areas of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that if you're reading at that, I'm from the New King James. Faith is the substance, some translations say, faith is the conviction, or it's the substance, it's the conviction of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And one of the things that we need to understand is dealing with us is rightly dividing things and looking at things. We as Christians need to understand where we're at, why people look at us the way we are. We come from a society that promotes education. We believe that every child ought to go through school and then to college. That's the general consensus of our nation. Everybody ought to do that. And so, our education and learning system does not coincide with faith. In fact, diabolically mostly against it. The idea of faith. I've had ministers tell me this. They've said, well, they sent their kids off to college and said, man, a matter of months, my kid's talking heathen stuff, you know, heathen ideas. I say, well, I hope you didn't help in paying any of their education. If my kids want to go to college to be an idiot, they ain't getting my money to do it. I ain't paying them to go to a college. That would see, we need to understand it. We're doing this because these scriptures, we need to understand where they stand in themselves. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're dealing with something that things that we believe that cannot be seen. Now this isn't, now to us it's not made up. We're dealing, to us, revelation of the Holy Spirit. God reveals things to us. See, when we received Jesus Christ, we believed in a Savior we couldn't see. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas said, hey, I believe you raised from the dead. Now, hey, I put my hand in your side, I checked out the nail holes, it's all good, I believe. And Jesus didn't commend him at all. He looks at Thomas and says, Thomas, blessed are those who don't see and believe, the blessed ones. So Thomas wasn't blessed. It required seeing. See, we live a society, and our society is all about seeing. It's all about seeing things. This is why it is so important. People, you know, you remember me talking about this, but people will drive down the road and they will kill you because they have to look and see in their phone. They'll run over and run you off the road, do things, because they can't get seeing. They don't have enough seeing out the windshield anymore or out their side windows. They gotta look at that phone. They just did a study on people and asking about their phone, how long a time they feel they could go without their phone. It was phenomenal. Over 70% of the people said they just cannot. 70%. We can't go with it. You can't. You have to have their phone. They've got to have that all the time. Now just think, 70%. Almost three quarters of our nation. See, these are the people that we're dealing with. See, this is why we need a move of God. The only thing that can change this is preaching the gospel. It's the only thing that can change it. Because see, people do this to stay in contact. Why do you think people do that? Why do you think people have to have their phone? Why do you think people have to do that? There's a foundation that people don't realize themselves. But I will tell you what the foundation of it is. It's fear. Now that sounds stupid to you, but it's fear. People can only find life in seeing. And I gotta see, I gotta keep seeing. Because other than that, fear drives them. You take their phone away, you watch how fear drives them. It's fear. Fear drives people. People have to see. They come to the place. See, we're in a society today like people gotta do all these dangerous things to do. It's make you feel alive. You can't build a roller coaster big enough anymore. You know, the one that everybody got on for 30 years and loved it, had a great time. It's not enough. It got to rip your head off. And if it don't rip your head off, it wasn't really that fun. What is all this about? Dead people are trying to feel alive. We're in a world that is riding on this emotional and seeing roller coaster. And when you talk about this verse does not fit in our society. It has no place. It has no place. The unseen? Ha, come on. You gotta prove it. We've gone so far as in the church we have now Christian scientists. They're going to prove God by science. I'm sorry. I didn't need their science to know there was a God. The Holy Spirit bared witness with me. No, I'm going to prove it to you by science. See, I'm going to give you seeing. God exists. Saying, you know what the next thing he'll do? Well, you can go out in the woods and have church, you know. You go out in the woods and you'll have your God. And you go out to, that's, trying to lead people. See, we're dealing with a not seeing. Now, I want to read you, I like the Amplified of this verse because I've read numbers of different translations, but I think it says it the best. Now, the Classic Amplified says, now faith is the assurance, it's a confirmation, it's the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And see, we need to understand the embattlement that we're doing. God was dealing with this. We're reaching out and understanding the people that we're reaching out to today. The church, I can go back many, we can go back years and years and years. Well, it's, you know, like we talk today about what we call, you know, the seeker-friendly church. But you know, the seeker-friendly church started in Rome. They wanted to bring the heathens in. If you study church history, I've studied it in Bible school, but I've also read books and studied something in Rome. So what Rome wanted to bring the heathens in, and so what they did, we're going to make it comfortable to them. We started letting them bring their stuff in. We set our holidays of things based on holidays they had. That's what Easter was set for. Isn't it funny? Resurrection's called Easter. Why would he even call, what does Easter even mean? How would you get a day? It was bought the heathens. It was a celebration of springtime and new life, and that's where all the egg things came from and all those things. That was the secret friendly stuff that was brought in. They went back through. There's many things in from the standpoint of the church did, and the church in Rome did, is brought in to bring the heathens in. This is Mary was set up because of a female god that was highly worshipped. So this works out. We'll give them Mary. See, we're trying to appease. So we look today and we act like all this new stuff happens. Ain't nothing new happening. The devil has the same playbook he always had. Of what captures your emotions? What captures your seeing? What makes you like things? Is it faith, which you can't see? Is it this faith thing over here? And see, it is. It's difficult. We're trying to build a religion in which Satan will do. He's going to do a good job of it. He's doing a great job of making a religion. See, today I remember back in the days when my drugging and smoking and doping and all that kind of stuff and drinking, and you had back in those days, and we did all the partying, and he had all the lights and the stove lights and all those kind of things. Anything to blow your mind out. Now you got him in a church today. You go and they have their lights. You go to their concerts and they have these we're going to a Christian concert. And it's a light show. It's a good place to go see. It's a place to go watch. We're worshiping God, watching lights. That's what we were doing. When I was in the dope days back in the 80s, that's what they'd sit around. They'd talk about God and all this stuff and smoke pot and watch. We'd watch the lights. Oh, yeah, we're traveling. We're going places. I didn't know back then. I was in church. All that time and nobody told me. They should have let me know. Here all this time I was a real religious guy and I never even knew. But see, you know, because it becomes difficult, our society, and we need to know, this is the direction of our society, but we got to make choices for ourselves of what's going to dominate our decision making. Believing in a God you can't see. Being the fool. You know? Oh yeah, that there stuff. Yeah, that stuff don't work. That stuff, people will tell you, this stuff don't work. We tried that. Faith is not trying something. Trying it, it ain't never gonna work. See, I'm gonna try Jesus. Well, just forget it. You know? we're gonna try it. But see, when we come along, we need to understand the society we're dealing with. Because we have this problem in the church world. I see groups and they're angry all the time at what's going on, and they're mad all the time about everything that's happening and going on. They don't understand the people. They don't understand their difference. You know, and people are going to say, people don't have common sense today. People haven't been taught it. Just like with yourself. You know, we don't teach morality in the church world anymore. We don't talk about it. We don't get all the things where Paul wrote about how you're supposed to conduct your life, the things you're not allowed, you shouldn't be doing as a Christian. It's full of it. In fact, there's more said in the New Testament about those things than there are faith and money. But they're not preached. Well, see, moral conduct. See, you're not going to have moral conduct among people when moral conduct's not preached. It's not preached that it's wrong. You go to churches today. You can be live together and go into spirit-filled churches and go and be a member. You can, you know, be around. You know, no, they don't get up. You know, they stay up, speak against fornication. They'd have a lot of people in trouble, and a lot of their kids would be in trouble. See, we don't touch those things. Why? We don't want to touch that. We can't touch that stuff. See, if you don't preach it, there never comes any conviction. The Holy Spirit can't convict people of things. It's not preached. So see, it can't get changed. This is about faith. This is about preaching. It's preaching about a God who we can't see and His desire that we have a certain conduct of life. You see, just take with ourselves, when the Bible talks about a fear of God, the only reason I don't sin, the fear that I have is because of my faith in God. I believe He's real. You can know that any Christian that can live like hell don't believe God's real. You don't believe He's real. If He thought He was real, why? It gets a hold of you, the fact that you know that He's real. People say, God is everywhere. I always have to laugh when people say that. I say, would you please introduce me to some folks that believe that? Because nobody's living like God's really here, everywhere. They're living like, man, He ain't nowhere. You know, He's out there. He's on vacation somewhere. He's on Florida on the beach where it's warm. I don't know. He's probably down there in Miami Beach, and they had to close him down, make him go to his hotel room at 10. Say, I'm sorry, nobody out. They have a curfew going. So at 10 o'clock, God shuts down. But see, we get this idea. See, faith in God gives you a reality. It becomes a thing of reality that God's real. That's what changes people's lives. It's real to them. He becomes real. There's no such thing as faith. See, He's a reality. He's a reality. That's what He's talking about here. Faith perceives as real fact. It's a reality. Faith. See, and we lose that. It's not just, this is not a concept. Faith isn't some religious concept. It's reality. It should be our reality. It's what you and I live. See, this is the basis of our authority. If God's not real, and if God, the things of our salvation and things, this is not a reality. And we're really in this thing. We're in it. We're really in this thing. If that is not real to us, if that's not real, then all the things of authority and all those things are really sort of a mean. They're just nice things that we say, well, see, God's given us all this authority and all this stuff, but it's not real. Faith makes it real. The Holy Spirit bears witness to you and makes it a reality that it's so. You see, I can get over in areas where, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just like we all do. We get over into some areas where we sort of lose contact with ourselves about some certain things. But our heart never loses that, and our heart starts dealing with us. You ever have that? And my heart starts, you need to get back over into line, see? Why? It's a reality. The new birth is a reality. I am truly a child of God. I have the nature of God. You have the nature of God. This is not a concept. This is not an idea to make you feel good while you're in the earth. This is the truth. This is what's real. My heart desires God and wants to follow God. People that don't want God and don't want to have anything to do with God, they haven't got God. They don't have it. It's not real. See, when I got born again and, you know, I had given up the drug things pretty much, but I was drinking and I was a drunk. But when I got born again, there was another guy. A reality took over in me. A reality took over in me. I was driven all the time. I was mad all the time. I had a demonic problem. I was driven mad all the time. I was mad. You know, it was like, let's find somebody to punch their face off, you know. Let somebody say something. You know? I mean, it was like, they don't make them big enough. That, you know? I mean, my world. You know, it wouldn't, you know, Charles Schwarzenegger, I'd have swung at him. You're mad. You're walking around. See, you're driven by a spirit. When I get born again, all of a sudden, I become changed. You see, I have very little identification with many people calling themselves Christians. I don't understand how you get saved and don't change. It wasn't when I changed everything and became... No, a lot of stuff I had to change because I had to gain knowledge of it. But that demon that drove my life left. And that guy on the inside that could never see himself not drinking, all of a sudden changed. He didn't have a desire to kill himself anymore. See, there was a reality. That new birth was a reality. That faith, by faith. See, faith. I responded to God by faith. And faith brought a reality. Man, that I... You know, it's like when I asked Wanda, when she got saved, a couple months later, she got saved. And I'll never forget, I walked in the door of the house and because the Lord told me, spoke to me and said, you leave her alone. She don't trust you. And I realized, see, before I was saved, I could have cared less if she trusted me. I didn't even care. Nothing bothered me that much. I didn't care. And I knew, I was so changed that it was the fact that when God said, let her alone, I realized I could see what I was. See, this is the reality of this faith. When you come to God by faith, it brings realities. Oh, things become real. And those things that became real to me, see that thing there, is I could see that, yes, I need to let her alone. I need to let her alone. The big thing that changed her was the fact of, I don't even remember what it was anymore that happened, that I would usually go ballistic over something, you know. There's things that, you know, it's like you just light the rocket. There were certain things you know. You know, there's certain people. Don't you know certain people, if I do a certain thing, they're going to go. Well, that might be you. I mean, but anyhow, that's the way I was. I would just have went ballistic. And it happened, and it even marveled me that it didn't upset me. And I'm like, wow, this is real. But see, I was driven. See, you don't realize, I'm just telling you this, the average Christian doesn't realize how many people have demons. The average Christian has no concept of the spirit realm. They think people are just good or bad. They don't realize demons. Loads of sinners, even Christians deal with demon problems and don't even know it. They have no idea. They're trying to deal with things. We don't even realize, have the concept of what's going on or how we get oppressed. But I didn't throw that fit. Why? Because I realized that when I got saved, there was something that dominated me. And what, I didn't know exactly what it was, but it left. It wasn't there. And I said to her, I asked Wanda why she got saved. And she said, I'm living with a different man. And then she brought up, she said, when she saw that whatever it was that happened, I don't remember what it was anymore. She said, you didn't even get mad about it. You see, you could have sent me to classes. You could have sent me to all kinds of stuff to try to make me into a better person. you can't make a better demon. There was a demon dominated my life. When I worked in the prisons, I would see that. People demonically oppressed when I worked at Lebanon County Prison. And they're down there, they're going to send them out to the, you know, get counseling. And they're going to, you ever try to counsel the devil? Try that sometime. We're going to turn the devil into a better person. And people don't realize what they're doing. Now, there's some people, I'm not saying that sometimes counseling can't do a person good. But they ain't going to do demons any good. People have demons. People need to be born again. People need to get born again. That there's not another answer to this. People's lives need to be changed. I mean, I was literally spiritually dominated. I didn't have control of things. One of the most incredible things is the Lord told me, this is one of the really blessings of God is this. We get born again and we take on the nature of God. And the Holy Spirit lives in us, but He still doesn't dominate us. He doesn't force you to do a thing. Yet you got a spirit living inside of you. And He's not forcing you to do a thing. I'll never forget when the Lord spoke this to me. To me it was a real revelation. You got born again. I'm an alcoholic, and I'll never forget this. The Holy Spirit said this to me one day. He said, did you notice you don't have to drink anymore? Another thing that grabbed me on that, I have a choice. See, you're a Christian. You have a choice. See, to me, that marveled me because I never had a choice before that. I was driven. That demon dominated me. I could never see myself stop drinking. Because I told the Lord, if I need to quit drinking, I can't get saved. I could not see myself. So you need to understand the condition people are in out here that you're dealing with. So they're just bad folks. They're just bad. You need to understand the condition that they're in. We walk over here in the life of faith, and you get so used to it, you become immune to the people around you. And don't realize how messed up they are. They don't know what you know. You need to go back and look at yourself. And if you can't see you as a mess, then there's something wrong with you. Because you were whether you want to admit it or not. It's like a woman said to me one time, she said, I don't have a testimony like yours. She said, I never lived a bad life or like, you know, and that kind of stuff. And she said, and I said to her, I said, yeah, you were worse a sinner than I was because you didn't even know you needed a Savior. You accepted Jesus because you thought you were pretty good. She didn't realize she was the worst of all. There's none good. But you know, it didn't take any more to save Ed than it took the nicest person that seemed in the world. It didn't take any more to save me. It was calling on the same Lord. Now, I do fit into the place of Scripture. The one who's forgiven of much loves more. See, I believe I was forgiven of much, and every one of you ought to think the same way. You've been forgiven of much. Because then you'll love Him a lot. You'll love Him a lot. And you look around here, but what the Holy Spirit wants to bring across this morning is we are a Christian. You guys know the truth. You walk, you have it. You walk along in it. You look, you have a moral conduct about your life because of your faith in Christ. You have a way of believing. It don't mean we've all arrived and we're, you know, but we have something else and we're among people of this world and they're not. And they're not like that. We're looking out here and what's going on. And it's sad to me is how many Christians are out here fighting this and fighting that and fighting this. And it's like, there's nothing wrong. Look, bad stuff we ought to oppose and say, hey, we don't go along with it. But we need to understand about the people we're dealing with out here. There are people out here that have rejected God. They don't want Him. But I'll tell you what, it can be very hard for us as individuals unless God reveals it to us who that is. It's like you guys have heard me tell us that a guy, you know, came to me and said, when I got saved and worked at Reese's, and he said, I never thought you'd get saved. See, I was on his list of too bad. See, I was a persecutor of Christians. I was, you know, you come up, talk to me about Christianity, and I'd make you feel so bad, but if you would. Don't talk to me about it. You know, I was one of those guys. But I can say this truthfully. When I got born again, I told everybody. I told everybody I worked with. What I did, I accepted Christ. And two or three days later, when they all woke up, they... I'll tell you, it was a shock to me. I mean, people were shocked when I told them. That I was like, and I started on this road of following Christ, and I didn't booze anymore and stuff, and didn't do this stuff. And I mean, you know, they just want to come up and take my temperature and stuff, things like that. And I went, whoa, this is weird. But one thing about it, it stuck. All these years, it stuck. All these years of walking in it, walking with it. And it's why, you know, the only thing that has kept me is faith in God. That's what's kept me. I haven't followed Christ all these years because I was just such a wonderful guy and always did so good. That's not why. It's I never left faith. I never quit trusting Him. Lots of times I didn't trust me. And I just want to, you know, the Holy Spirit, this is no condemnation to us here, but God just wants us to get over and pick up that, realize what our faith did for us, what our faith accomplished in us. You know, the things that we hope for, you know, it's like Mike, you know, talking today, well, what's the boundaries God set in this thing, ascending Jesus? I mean, do we just get Jesus? How far will He go? See, as individuals, we're taught in a church and we've grew up and around and heard the messages God wants to bless us and God wants to do things. And, you know, our concept of God. I mean, we have people out here today. I mean, they preach diabolically against it. You know, they'll preach the message like, you know, Mike said in the beginning, all you get is Jesus. Anything beyond that, you're out there in left field. Anything beyond that, anything about there, you know, is, there are preachers out here that I know where some people, that some ministers are right about. I can see how they get some of their opinions. There's guys that ain't nothing but money preachers. That's all, it's about money. That's all it is. There's some of them out here. But there's good preachers out here. Now, see, what happens is people get over it, then and anybody talks about money, then, well, you know, you're classified with the guy that, but you know, we gotta get over that and not worry about that. See, we preach the truth. We preach about healing. See, I heard a minister say this on the radio this past week. He said, oh, he said, some of these people only come to Jesus to get healed. Ha. Huh. They knocked it. And that backslidden buzzard will run to a doctor so quick. But see, people don't see. They live out in the world. They're not preached. See, this is why we just keep preaching. There's people that won't accept it. There's even Christians that won't accept things that we talk about or preach. But you know what? There's some people will. There's some people get the reality of it. You know, there's one thing as I saw back in the days of the move of God back in the 80s and into the 90s. There's things that move God. But I would see this would happen all the time that, you know, ministers would go to some of these big meetings and things they'd go on. And we're going there for this express purpose to find fault with what's going on. And ended up falling into, they got a revelation of what was going on. And I remember listening to a story about to some ministers. And I think it was they went to a Kenneth Hagin meeting, I think it was. And anyhow, they went there more to cause a problem. These were some Baptist ministers and they went there. One of them had cancer. But they were going there, they were a team together going against this thing or going against it. And Brother Hagin was ministering on the areas of healing and stuff. And, you know, it's like this minister heard this week, you know, we'll just be preaching salvation. We shouldn't be preaching healing because people need salvation more than they need healing. Well, Kenneth Hagin, the Lord told him to start preaching on healing and he said, you'll have twice as many people get saved. And he said it was right. He said, when I emphasized healing and people got healed, we had more people get saved than we did in the meetings that didn't take place. Well, anyhow, in this meeting, he got preaching on healing and this one guy had cancer. Brother Hagin had a call to come down for ministry, and the one Baptist minister said to the one that had cancer, he said, if I had you, I'd go down. But the guy did. He probably wanted to, and he heard about it. You know, you can sit and say all you want about how spiritual you are till it, you know, and he went down and got healed. And so it changed the group. But you know, now understand this. We're dealing with some people, they have been taught wrong. The Lord spoke to me to this morning. We know, we all of us here, we know according to how we're taught or what we, teachings and stuff, we have accepted. And we make our decisions and stuff spiritually. We make decisions based on our knowledge that we have of God, each individually. We each as individuals, everyone's at different spots and places and understanding of different areas. And it comes from sometimes things that we accepted were true. And sometimes there's things that are not necessarily true, but we've accepted, we've taken it and we make it part of our belief. And, we operate, everybody does that, you know. So God, if God threw everybody out because of that, he wouldn't have nobody. Because all of us have things. Nobody's perfect in what they see or understand. Nobody's perfect. And so we need to understand that we're dealing in a world of Christians that are in the same way. They've been taught, they've accepted things. All their life, they've been brought up in churches and taught certain things and certain things, and they've accepted them as true. And just because, you know, we wave a flag and do something, it doesn't, and we need to understand they're in that condition. God in His goodness will do as much for them as He can. Just the same way for us. Sometimes He has to do just as best He can do with us because of our thinking and believing. Sometimes He can only work so far. So, in a sense, we're all in the same boat in this thing. But we need to understand that about people, the people that we're dealing with. They're sitting in that area where they have been taught certain ways. The only thing that can change people if people will allow the Holy Spirit to deal with them. And that comes through, really, we can pray for people, but also the preaching of the Word. We preach things that the Holy Spirit can bring and bear witness to people of things. We want to do that because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will work in people, and His whole idea is to bring faith where it becomes a reality to people. See, we need to preach a gospel of change. We're not doing that today. We take the drug addict and we want to make drug clinics. That's fine, you know, places to go to save. But we don't preach Jesus Christ will deliver you. See, I was preached I would get delivered if I accepted Jesus. And I did. Why? I believed it. See, I was preached to me. It was preached to me that I would get delivered. Now, why? I believed it. Now, some people will hear, I don't know why. You know, see, I grew up under religion, but one of the best things that ever happened to me is I rejected the religion I was raised under. I rejected it. See, a lot of people don't. They just add things to things and end up with a mixture. I rejected what I was taught, raised up. I thought, if God is like they say, you know, it makes no sense. I couldn't believe adults accepted one. I mean, I was a kid, not saved, and realized what they were saying wasn't right. But here again, now I can take my parents. My parents love God. They absolutely love God. But I learned this after I got born again. Loads of stuff you couldn't talk to them about at all. You couldn't discuss with them at all because of they had 70 years of teaching a certain way. And you know what? They weren't giving it up for Ed. They weren't giving it up for God. Why? This is one thing, as you keep yourself teachable. This is one thing as God is speaking to me about these things today and was started talking to me about these. Because we're dealing with people out here. Keep yourself teachable. Keep yourself where you can look out at people and see what their need is, see what they're like, that the Holy Ghost can reveal to you. We can't We can't use our knowledge as a way to measure against them, to criticize them and just run them down. You win the loss through love. You don't win the loss through, why, you old dirty dog. See, that's why people, see, you know why I needed Jesus growing up? It's because I was a worthless, dirty dog, and you need Jesus. But when I came to Christ, God never dealt with me in such a way that I was such a bad person. I was a sinner, acting like my dad, the devil. I just did it more than some people did. I was just better at it than some of you were. Some of you hid it and didn't tell people. You had a lot of hatred in your hearts. You didn't express it, but it was just as evil as what I did. The person that walks around and hates from their heart is as bad as the guy who expresses. In the eyes of God, why? Because God don't judge man by outward appearance. He judges by the heart. See, that's why we can't measure people. Because we don't know. We don't know. What looks good to us may not be good at all. You know, sometimes there's things that look great, but it's poison. And so we don't want to go there. And I hope you see today, I hope the Holy Spirit's spoken to you in these things, is because, you know, it's when I look out at the world and the world's trying to fix things out here, it's heartbreaking to me. I see what people are going through, the suffering that people are going through. We've gone through all these things in our with here in our nation, but around the world with this COVID stuff. I'm just personal. Maybe you don't. I don't see things get sweeter or nicer about none of this stuff. That doesn't mean we can't reach some people and they'll get sweeter and nicer. That God, and see, we got to reach people amongst, and there's only one way to do that, and it's to preach the gospel. Faith, you know, see, every sinner out here has hopes. See, I had hopes when I was a sinner. I wasn't achieving any of them. My hopes, you know what? I hoped, I tried to change, I tried good, and never worked, you know, because sin in me was greater than me. It was greater than me. I couldn't stand against it. And I'd want to change. You know, you make it a day or two or something. You try to do it, but it didn't work. I had hopes. And we're living in a world. People have all kinds of hopes of things. But you know, I mean, no matter how wealthy a person gets or something, no matter what they try to do, you know, take Bill Gates, you know, him and his wife and all their things, their life, and then bang, their marriage falls apart. What good does it do, all of that kind of stuff? Well, see, they had hopes and dreams in the beginning. And they attained this, what the world calls great success. And now we got, you know, two separate billionaires. But what is it? You know, it's number one. Is that when they did that, they got children. That's, you know, I don't care how much money you got, that's an effect. There's a price you pay for that. There's a price to be paid. See, there's a price on everything. It does things. See, we don't like to have these. See, in life. See, my life as a sinner, there's things that I did, there was always a price to be paid. But as I became a Christian, that didn't change. There's always a price. There's a blessing and there's curse. And if you go over here and live in the curse area, and see, it doesn't. But you have hopes and dreams. There's no way that Wanda and I would have stayed married if I'd have stayed a sinner. I'd have seen to that. I'd have ruined it all. I'd have seen to that. I'd have messed it up good. But see, the only way your hopes and dreams is, see, when I got saved, I could see the possibilities then. Jesus Christ changed my life. Man, my eyes were opened. What I could see that I never saw before. So let's look out here at this world, you know, and God wants to look out at this world. God's heart's reaching out to these people. God looks into this earth, and you know what? He ain't like wanting to push the button. The scripture tells us this. What's the Father waiting for in the earth? What's He waiting for? The precious fruit of the earth. Well, there must be more fruit to come in. Or we'd be gone. Isn't that right? He's waiting for the precious fruit. He looks, I'm going to tell you what. I totally believe this. Some of the precious fruit is some of the ugliest things you see right now. Is the precious fruit. Revival places and things that are going on here, God's reaching into the bottom of the barrel and lifting them out. They're the precious fruit. Anybody want? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Don't care how big sin gets in America, it never gets bigger than grace. Never gets bigger than grace. Grace, God's grace in Christ Jesus is a giant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember that. That grace, that's what you're living in. That's what you're walking in. That's what you're called to. That grace. That ability of God. Hallelujah. God given to you. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. What a phenomenal thing. Absolutely phenomenal. Now this message might not seem like it had to do with anything with dealing with our our authority, but it does. It's everything. It's our using our authority that God has given to us. Taking that authority, the ability of God working in us, the hand of God that's on us. God's not going to put His hand on you. He's already done that. God's already put His hand on you. God's already anointed you. God's already declared His love for you. God's all, whatever it is, hallelujah, He's already done it. You talk about wonderful. Think about all the, you know, it's one thing, all of us have a testimony. It's one thing as I learned through the Full Gospel Businessman, what a person's testimony can do to another person's life. See, you can, I can speak from an experience. Nobody can take it from me. Anybody can tell me they don't believe it. That's fine. That does not change it. I have walked in it. And I can preach it with confidence. Hallelujah. It's my reality. Hallelujah. And it's the reality of my faith. It brought it to me. Glory to God. It brought it into existence. And that's yours. You're born again today. Hallelujah. You have the witness in you that you're the child of God. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. See, that's your reality. I'm a child of nobody, but anybody can say anything they want. They can declare whatever they want. But your reality is, I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. I know I've passed from death unto life. You know why I know? I love the brethren. I was a sinner and hated Christians. I know it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I preach to them now. Hallelujah. See, I passed from death unto life. It's a reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And every one of us have, you might say, well, I wasn't a big drug or drinker. Are you a child of God? Yes. Hallelujah. Did God change your life? Has your love life changed? Hallelujah. That's a reality. Do you know how many people in this world would love to have that? They would really be like to love their mate. Do you know how many people would really like to do that? There's loads of people that are divorced, but they wanted to love them. They wanted to walk. They wanted. They couldn't do it. See, people, they just wouldn't do right. Sorry, they got the wrong spirit. They got the wrong spirit. And that spirit drives them. They're dominated by their flesh. I know what it's like to be dominated by my flesh. When my flesh wanted, my flesh was so strong when I was a sinner. The pleasure of my flesh always had to come first. See, that's when you deal with drug addicts, drunks, any of those people. What's going on in their flesh is huge. It drives them. And if you can't do something about that, you have to have something that's greater than the flesh. And that's what the born again life is. The new spirit on the inside. I got something. We used to sing a song. I got something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And every one of you have it. It's a reality. See, it might not seem much to you, but I'm going to tell you, there's people wanting to hear that. The people want to hear, you know what? I know what to do. You can make it. I know what you can do. I know where I was. And I know. I can tell you. See, you can tell people because you know. You know you have experience in your life. Hallelujah. That's your testimony of what Jesus did for you. Hallelujah. Telling other people what Jesus did. I could always, people say, well, I don't know how to witness somebody. I can tell people what Jesus did for me. See, I can run into people and they'd never been a drunk or a druggie, but I can tell them, look, if God can deliver a drunk or a druggie, whatever situation you're in, surely that'll be a piece of cake. this is what he did to Mr. Mess. Ha! You got it made in the shade. God will fix you quick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah, the wonderful God that's in us. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you today for what a wonderful, glorious God you are. Hallelujah. How great you are in your working. How great you are in your working. And Lord God, truly, I'm just so thankful, Father, that we as a congregation, we can stand before you as children of God, born again. Hallelujah. Having the life of God in us. Father, we do recognize the fact that our salvation wasn't by us, and we know that. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, I am just so thankful. Lord God, Lord, just like Mike shared with us this morning, maybe we missed it last week. What did we do last? What was it? Hallelujah. But Lord God, the Bible's true. You're the one that's still faithful and just to forgive us. You didn't save us because we were any good, and you don't keep us because we're so good. You do it by your great love and mercy and kindness through Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that we have no right to approach you on any self-righteousness. We realize that. There's nothing that we could come and ask you for that you owe. Lord God, you're the one that gives freely. We don't have to force you to give. That's your nature. And so, Lord God, I'm just so thankful today as your children we can approach you. You said in your word, James, your earthly brother, said if we lack wisdom, you give it to us liberally, without reproach. You don't get mad because we acted dumb or did something dumb. You'll give it if we ask. And Lord God, we sure do need your wisdom. We're living in an earth, in a world. And Father God, we want to view them with your eyes. We want to have your heart about them and see them, Lord God, in the light of your great salvation and mercy and the great grace that you gave through Jesus Christ. That when we look at the things going on, Lord God. Father, I think about today, Lord God, a prophecy that was given many years ago by Kenneth E. Hagin talking about the end times. And he said persecution would come. But in the last days, he said it wouldn't come not just from without, but from within. And Father, we've seen that. We've seen within the body of Christ persecutions, Lord God, going on. Persecutions happen because people of their walk of faith, Lord God, and where the world has entered into the church. But Lord God, we don't want to hate people. We don't want to hold resentment. Lord God, if we're criticized, we want to walk in love. We want to stay in the place, Lord God, where our faith will continue to work and grow and develop. Hallelujah. Because our desire, Lord God, is to be a blessing to others. We want to help. Hallelujah. And Father, this morning as we approach you with communion, Father, it is such a wonderful, glorious thing. Because Lord God, these elements lay bare the foundation of your great grace and love and mercy to humanity. That you made us one with you. You made us one with your body and made us one with your blood. Lord God, it is a phenomenal thing. We're your children. Hallelujah. United as one with the God of heaven. And Lord God, as we approach these, Lord God, we don't back away, Lord God. Lord, if we've missed it, we could just confess it today. Lord, there's nothing that can't be cleared up. Hallelujah. Oh, you're so good. And Father God, we can approach these elements. And Lord God, with an expectation of Lord God, this is our blessing. Our blessing to be one with our Lord and Savior. One with our Father. Hallelujah. And one with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And we thank you, Lord God, for reminding us. Hallelujah. Reminding us, Lord God, that the sin of our past was put under the blood of Jesus Christ. That it's been washed and cleansed. It's been removed from us completely. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we no longer have that nature. That nature is dead. That old nature, that old man is gone forever dead and died in Christ. And today we stand before you as the scripture said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we stand before you today, a new people. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you. We're new people every day because the Bible tells us that we're being renewed. Hallelujah. Day by day. Hallelujah. Renewed day by day. Grace renews us every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're full of life today because of Jesus Christ. And we're partakers and reminded today of that wonderful life. As we take these elements, hallelujah, we're partakers of life. Hallelujah. Death is gone. Hallelujah. Forever. Glory to God. And we have life. And so we thank you. Thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and do through us. Through the great majesty and love of our Lord Jesus Christ working in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Mike, do you have anything you want to? Yeah, go say something. You got something? Go right ahead. Hallelujah.
Funny, this week or the other day, I said, Darlene, you know, and this, not to sound haughty, but talking to people at her business, at the market, and some are Christians, some are not. Some are the precious fruit that are, you know, the dregs of society now. Some are literally, one guy says, you know, I'm not afraid of hell. I try and talk to him, and we'll get him. I mean, not we, but the Holy Ghost will get him. But I said to her, it's amazing how the Christians, how little they know. They know nothing about the spiritual authority, kingdom authority. And so just you got to realize what we have in our heritage of faith and then look at it exactly what was on my heart. This is just wonderful. You look at it, I look at them and see their need and just one word or Holy Ghost can take it.
Hallelujah. That's what I got. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody else have something? Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate Mike saying about it is, I know Mike has talked before about they've gotten a lot of opportunities talking to people, that they're among down there at the market, which is really, is one of the things is we, in our personal lives, we touch into people that normally don't get touched into by others, but we touch into. Father, thank you. As we go out this week, Lord God, we're going out in the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Quickening us, making us alive. And that life is exuberating from us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you that our voices are being anointed in the name of Jesus. And as we speak, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Quickening at the hearts of men and women and their lives are being changed in Jesus' name. Amen.